So barbecue last night. Some of you, fireworks. You know, the thing about yesterday and the fireworks was that there was no wind, and every time people were the smoke just stayed at the street. You didn't notice that? It just, the whole city was smoke. But I am so excited about the new year and you know, services like this. You know, you get a smaller group because, you know, people were up late. But I'm so excited that you're here. You said, even though I'm sleepy, even though I went to sleep at 2 o'clock, I'm getting up for church. But we got to pray for our families. Amen? There's families that are struggling, battling, going through that process of putting God first. And it's okay. We've all been there. Amen? Keep praying for, and don't worry about numbers. Don't worry. Worry about quality, substance, growth in people. You know, I tell the story to the Eloy and Joseph and others as we you know, meet together and talk about ministry and stuff. You know, I remember being a youth leader for many, many years, I think till I was age 35 or so, till Pastor Green said to stop. But since from age 21 to 35, like 14 years, I just, and you know, we would have 2 or 3 kids, and it didn't matter to me. It was about doing it, doing something for God. And that's kind of what our drive is just doing, getting it done for God. However, quality, substance, that's what it's all about. Substance. And that's what I've been praying, Lord, what are we building on? And the word is a lot of substance. You know, God, you are people of substance as far as I'm concerned. People of substance. And God's going to start challenging you a little bit. Because it's no good to put substance away. You got to use it for the kingdom. And I believe God's going to start putting some things in place. And opportunities in place, and be ready. In 2016, our theme was Keep Jesus Close. And the whole year, we kind of just referenced this theme. There's a little history, if you don't remember, of some of our themes in the last few years. And I always like to use the first service of the new year to kind of pray about and say, okay, Lord, what's our theme for this year? And so I wanted to recap these. These are special because I remember the moments in time when, you know, we're in prayer and God kind of reveals this to us. And you know, letting Jesus drive your life, that's pretty important. And desiring more of God, that's kind of been something that this church is, you know, we want more of God. We don't want more of a show or a religion, or we want more of relationship with God. More of God in our lives, more character, more wisdom, more direction, more just of learning. I mean, you'll never stop learning about God. There are things and mysteries in the Bible that just are we may not even understand ever till we get to heaven. And that's okay. And in 2016, it was about keeping Jesus close. And we need to keep Jesus close because when we go through stuff, that's all we got. Some of you in 2016, you know, you were just holding on by a thread. Lord, what is going on here? Wow, that was something. But through it all, you know, here's the thing is once you've gone through something that's hard and you kept Jesus all the way, when you get through it, you're never turning back. And that's substance. That's what I see here today. I see substance. I see people who don't know how to quit. Yeah, does that make you feel good? Because I really believe that. I really believe. I see people who don't know how to quit. And I know you have your conversations at home. And, oh, the church, I wish they would do this a little. And that's normal, but just be careful not to bash the pastor too much in your dinner conversations. But that's really normal. But, you know, there's a difference between having discussions and then trying to hurt somebody, right? There's a difference. And I know you have these discussions too, and that's okay. But always... believe and have faith that God's in control. He's on the throne. And some of you in 2016, you had some stuff, and maybe it was late in the year, maybe it was early in the year, But we kept Jesus close through it all. We know who else, you know, do we turn to? He's the only one. And that has been our theme in the last few years. Don't put it up there yet, but the theme for 2017 is not going to be a surprise to anybody, because in November earlier this year, we got a word from the Lord, and I haven't been able to shake it. And it just confirmed, and today, and it just confirmed, even today, because I was still like, Lord, are you sure? Because I didn't even think very hard about this. It just kind of fell on our plates. But there was a word back in November, and you can put it up there. It was about rejoice. Rejoice. God's people, 2017, it's time to rejoice. And you may be saying, oh, right, everything's going to go perfect. That's not what I said. Rejoice, because our God is on the move in 2017. I want you to write that down. Does everybody have a pen and paper? Or on your phone, you know, you can write, text it to yourself or to your mom or to your neighbor. So you have it. But rejoice, our God is on the move. He's on the move. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Rejoice. You know, there's some Cowboy fans that are rejoicing this year. Right? You can feel it. You have that offensive line you've been waiting for. You know that the ingredients are there this year. They're there. Will they execute it or not? It's a different story. But you know they have the talent to win this thing, right? They're rejoicing. The Texans, they need a quarterback, but let's save that for another day. So they're rejoicing, right? And you know, I wanted to use that example because in the spirit realm, the ingredients are there. The players are there. There's God's raising up people. The ingredients are there for the kingdom of God to, as the world proclaims it, to win this thing, to take this ground back, as we heard today in Word of Prophecy. Rejoice! God is on the move, like a military move. God is on the move. The enemy has been just kind of taking some pieces, and I believe in 2017 there's going to be some spiritual breakthroughs and reclaiming of land as the word came forth today. As Job lost and then God blessed him later. You know, God is in the blessing people business. And it doesn't always come with money, finance. Blessings is just being favored by God. Blessed. Sometimes it's finances. God knows what you need. And He'll take care of us. And so we're claiming land. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, if you'll turn there. Verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say rejoice. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Don't make a move without praying. In everything in prayer. Lord, close doors, open doors. You have an idea of what you want to do this week, next month. But make sure God's part of that. Make sure you're in prayer about it, that there's peace. That there's peace. Be careful for nothing but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. It is important that we pray and let God know what our requests are. If you're hurting, let Him know. If you're joyful, let Him know. If you need something, let Him know. You need a miracle, let Him know. I love prayer meetings here on Tuesday nights. because we pray and we just want to be in His presence, and we let our requests be known. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So rejoice in the Lord always and be at peace. This is the year to rejoice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Remember I said, I didn't say everything was going to go perfect, right? That's not what 27. But rejoicing, because our God is on the move. People, we need to rejoice in all things. And here's a scripture that reminds us. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Rejoicing. God's got this. God's going to make a way where there seems no way to be no way. He's going to move mountains for you. He's going to direct your path. Rejoice. Rejoice means you know all is well. Because you belong to God. You are His. So rejoice. And then it says there, it goes on and says, rejoice always. As poor, you're making many rich. See, this is talking about what the world considers poor. People are receiving riches through your testimony. Think about that, right? See, the world measures things in money and fame. God measures things in heart, humility, service. So though we may be poor, yet making many rich, because when you give them Jesus, you make them rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. So this is reminding us that rejoicing is not related to what the world considers as success. Amen? Let that rejoicing has nothing to do with how the world defines success. Rejoicing in the Lord is about knowing who you are, a child of the King and the Creator of all. That's all we need. Rejoice. So when you dust off 2016, a lot of times in 2016, maybe you wanted some world results. Well, you won't rejoice there. The world, the things of this world, the way of this world will always desire more. You'll never be satisfied with what the world wants. But in Christ Jesus, there's an everlasting river flowing of fulfillment and rejoicing and joy in there. What God's people in 2017, no matter what's going on around us, we're going to rejoice. And sometimes we will cry together and still rejoice. And sometimes we will celebrate breakthroughs and rejoice. And sometimes we'll celebrate new salvations, new people coming to God. We'll rejoice. Rejoice. Our God is on the move. Amen. And I want to define this in two different ways. God is on the move from a kingdom level, and I believe God is on the move at an individual level, you and you and God. There's two different tracks that I want to just kind of quickly follow today. And please, if you have something to write with, write a thought down, pray about it, and do that all year. Just even if it's just one thought a week, make it a point. I'm just going to write one thing a week, one scripture, one thought that you take out of here and go. And that's, I believe that's so important for your relationship, for you growing, for getting something out of every service. At an individual level and at a kingdom of God level, I believe God, it's not too complicated. God can handle the nations. He's moving, right, in nations and directions to execute the plan. Jesus is coming again. He's getting it all ready, right, at that level because He's God. But He's not too busy that He doesn't care about us, because the Bible says He knows how many hairs you have on your head, right? And some of you lose a few and He still can count that. You know, we lose a few and He still knows, okay, It was 10,000 yesterday. It's 9,999. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. For some, he has to count less than others. You know where I'm going, right? Yeah, okay. He knows. He's God. He knows. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, if you'll turn there. You know, at the kingdom level, at the Revelations, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Let's go there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Hopefully I can find 2 Peter. Here we go. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, I don't think that one's correct. Hold on. Let me try 1 Peter. Sometimes that happens. Oh, no, it is 2 Peter. We'll get it. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start with verse 8. Well, we'll start with verse 1. The second epistle. Beloved, I know I write unto you, this is Peter, in both which I stir up pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So Peter's reminding them, remember what the prophets said and remember what we're telling you. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. You know what scoffers are? People who put doubt in what Peter is talking about here, that is truth. There will be scoffers walking after their own lusts, having their own plan, having their own agenda. There will be scoffers and saying, where is that promise of Jesus is coming? For since the beginning of time, you all have been talking about, since the beginning of creation, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God and heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So a lot has gone on in the world, a lot of changes. But Peter's saying there's going to be people scoffing. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand, and a thousand years as one day. See, God's timing, he's on the move. And his timing is not like our timing. Sure, many centuries have gone on. Many people have said Jesus was coming, and he didn't come. So people like doubt and just because people have prophesied incorrectly doesn't mean that what's written in the book isn't going to happen. It's just that they got it wrong, right? And that's what it is. It doesn't change the fact. He says, be not ignorant. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but it is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the reason that God hasn't come yet is because God is long-suffering, wanting as many people to understand, to come to the knowledge. It is God's will that no one should perish, but the day of the Lord will come. Whoa. Will come. As a thief in the night. Now, how does a thief come? By surprise, right? Like, you just don't know. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also in the works that are... In other words, when he comes, it's going to be pretty obvious. Right? All that fancy wording. Earth this, and it's going to be obvious. There's not going to be, well, was that a second? Did Jesus come back? Was that him? Was that? We will know. It's happening. And I wanted to read that. You know, in 2017, I really believe God's on the move. I mean, he's obviously on the move because there's so much going on in this world. Just as the Bible says would happen at the end, as of the days of Noah, right? Where men were just, you know, sin didn't bother them anymore. Right? They were just doing whatever. There will be a day and Jesus will return. Peter made it clear. Don't let all the times that people have made these predictions and don't let any of that ever put any doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ is coming again. And Peter made it very clear. Rejoice, our God is on the move. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. See, God is preparing these things at a kingdom level, right? For the prophecies to be fulfilled. In Matthew 24, verse 15, it says this. Jesus is saying, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by the Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. So if you don't know what it says in Daniel, it says that this leader will stand at the holiest place and proclaim himself as God. And Jesus is saying, when that day happens, as quoted by Daniel, he says, then let them which be in Judea flee. Basically, all hell's going to break loose. There will be a day called the abomination of desolation, according to Jesus Christ. There will be a day. And many are talking about recent events and how Jerusalem is being divided, and that just happened during Christmas, and everyone's getting really excited, and no one knows exactly how this is all going to work out. And I'm not here to tell you exactly how it's going to work out, but I do know this one thing. Jesus Christ is coming again. How he does it, when he does it, we will know. God is on the move. And we should not let scoffers tell us, no, don't talk about that because then everybody's going to think that he... No, he may come this year. He may come in 1,000 years. He may come in 3 years. He may come... I don't know. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But this I know. It will happen. It will happen. And we as a church should rejoice in the fact that God is at work. And he's on the move. There will be a day. I want to quote one more thing Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 36. They were asking him about when will this happen? The end times, the you coming back again, Jesus. When will all that happen? And Jesus said these words. But of that day and hour knoweth who? So if somebody tells you that Jesus is coming back on this day, what are you going to say? I don't believe you, because in Matthew 24, 36, it says, no man knows the day or the hour. Amen? Amen? But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Church, this is a new year, and I don't normally touch on these kind of topics, but I really feel you are people of substance. You are people that want to hear things with your spirit. And God is speaking to the church. I'm on the move. I'm taking back this land. I heard that this morning. I'm combining what I heard, what God spoke to us in through the gifts of knowledge and prophecy. He spoke to us. He's taking back his land. He's on the move. At a national level or a high level, kingdom level. And the same kind of move paralleled at your individual relationship level. God is on the move and you're taking ground back. And Jesus says, no one knows the day. You know. So everyone in this church, if anybody ever tries to tell you, here's the evidence. Jesus is coming back on September this or, you know, You're gonna be wise enough to know the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. But I do believe he's coming. And I'm excited about it. But as the days of Noah were, so shall all this coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage unto the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. See, in the days of Noah, they just didn't care about God. They were just doing their own thing. They just said, push God out of the whole society. And Noah was the only one left. And it was a time like that. So he's saying, as of those days, so will it be. And then he said, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So even Jesus is talking about his second coming. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. So that's what Jesus prophesied. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. Amen? Be ready. No one completely understands all of this prophetically, but one thing I do know is I want to be ready. You're ready. I know many of you just, oh, Pastor, I still have... Yes, we all still have things we're working out. I believe that you are people of substance. I believe you are hearing God's word today saying, rejoice, God is on the move. And Jesus said, watch therefore, for ye know not the hour which the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch of the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour ye think not the Son of Man, he cometh. These are God's words, right? People have tons of interpretations, but the truth is the truth. Jesus Christ is coming again. And Jesus Christ himself said it. And Peter said, don't let people scoff. It is happening. So church, God is on the move. And I'm saying this year for a reason. I don't know what's happening. I don't have dates for you because no one knows. But I do know this. We, as God's people, can feel when God is on the move. And he's preparing us for such a time as this. At an individual level, go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard, Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. At an individual level, God loves us. And he wants, above all, to be with us. He wants to walk with us. And I love verse 4. One day, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, and no more sorrow, and no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Isn't God... God has a beautiful plan for us. A beautiful plan for us. Whether he comes back in our lifetime or not, this holds true for eternity. Wipe away every tear. No more pain, no more sorrow. Just being in his presence. And you know, we get a glimpse of that. You know, today, this morning, as we were all here, and it just blessed my heart. Not one soul stayed back. It's like, yes, 2017, we're giving it. I mean, it was awesome. I enjoyed that very much because we're all feeling that God is on the move. And we get a taste of being in his presence. Don't you just have that when you're in God's presence and you come in with a bunch of problems to church and you leave, I'm so glad I went to church. Like, you know, and then the world comes back and tries to, and no, we gotta rejoice in all things. Rejoice, always rejoice. He cares. In Psalms 34:17, if you'll turn there. Psalms 34:17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and he delivereth them out of all their troubles. God hears you at an individual level. God hears you. You know, Jesus says that parable about that lady that kept going to the judge, and the judge finally said, "Oh, sure, get. I'm tired of you annoying me. Go ahead, and I'll answer your request." Well, God says, "Go to the Lord. Pray, pray, pray. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you, because when the righteous cry out, the Lord heareth, and he delivereth them out of all their troubles." Some of you need to underline that. Take it with you and take that. Quote it. God is in the business of delivering his people from trouble over and over and over. There will be a day when there's breakthroughs in your circumstances. There will be a day that every tear is wiped away. There will be a day when God will say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And there will be a day. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, in closing. There will be a day when the deceiver, the enemy who causes us problems, who's out to steal, to kill, and destroy each and every one of us, there will be a day that he is thrown for eternity into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Because it says in Revelation chapter 20, "And the devil that deceived us was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever." There will be a day. Rejoice. Our God is on the move. Amen? He's on the move. That's exciting. 2017, church, you're leaving today. Rejoice in all things. Always rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again, I say, rejoice. That's our theme this year as a church, as families, individuals. I mean, rejoice. God is on the move. And he's on the move on these national stuff, and he's on the move with you individually. He's about to prepare you for amazing things. Just get ready. Get ready. God is in control of our lives. God is in control of the world. The universe. He's in control of all things. In 2017, people of faith will